Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Back to Old School with DP and J on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up? We're back. Jay Foreman, Harrison, Old School. We got Dr. Razdan in here from Advanced Medical Imaging. We got, he's doing the hardest thing of his day. He's got surgeries and everything, and he's a doctor putting on these headphones. Here, let me get you.
Get this one.
There you go.
Headphones on.
All right, gotcha. It's good to have him come in, obviously, with the NBA Finals and Porzingis out. There you go.
Jay, it ain't working. Look
there
at
you
this.
Go. We're going to manually
switch. Oh, jeez. There
you
go.
Go. Right. See there? It's customer service.
There you go.
You can clip that, Harrison. But, with Porzingis, he originally had a calf injury and now or ankle injury, calf. It's like now he has a unique injury according to him. But we're going to talk about hamstrings first.
Sure.
And I have experience with a hamstring pull. I always thought that, you know, Doak Ostergaard was our trainer. He made me miss spring break once because I had a, you know, we tested out for the pros. And I swear when I'd never pulled a hammy before, but when this bad boy like twinged, I literally face planted and got turf burn on my face. But I always think it's very unique when I didn't know the difference because I've only had one. When I got to the pros, I remember I had a older veteran that kind of would mentor me through it. And he's like, this is the one you want. This is the one you don't want. And it's high grade, which is or high or low, which is high is like up towards your butt cheek and low is more towards your knee, and then they have a mid, right?
Yep.
Okay, so for our listeners out there, and for since it's starting to become hot and humid, and if you don't hydrate and you try to run up a hill and try to go into second or third or fourth gear and that hammy starts to twinge, you're going to know which one. So when you call into the emergency room and say you need some help, you can say, I got low grade. Well, anyways, Doc, I want you to explain the difference between all three. And which ones, like I texted you, which one do you not want, which is one that can linger or the one that you possibly could make, you know, say I'm in a playoff game and we got a bye week and the one that I could possibly answer the bell?
Well, I mean, I think the best way to look at it, there's two kind of classifications. Right. One is whether it's high or whether it's low.
Right.
And then there's that, out of those classifications, then there's low grade, mid grade, and high grade, or grade one, grade two, grade three.
Right.
The one that you don't want is the one that's up closer to the pelvis or the groin, where those muscles attach. And, you know, the hamstrings are the flexors, right? They flex your knee, right? That's the thing. And where they attach up near the pelvis, if that gets torn or gets avulsed, that thing lingers. That thing lingers a long time. Now, you know, and then when I told you about the low, mid, high, or low, mid, and severe, the low-grade ones, you can get back. People rest those for 3 to 5 days, and they get back to it. That's okay. But the high grade ones, that grade three, those things can go, you need recovery at least 6 to 8 weeks or 8 to 12 weeks.
Right. Those are months.
Those are months. And, you know, what's Tyrese? Tyrese came back for the Pacers. Didn't he have he had like a hamstring injury and they brought him back too quick.
Yeah.
And then he re-injured it right away.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he did.
And I think he, you know, I think his was a grade two. I don't remember exactly. Right. And I think they brought him back too quick. But anyway, I mean, the one you don't want, I think we were talking about this earlier, the one up higher, closer to your pelvis.
Right.
And the other one you don't want is anywhere but totally avulsed one, right?
Right.
Hamstrings are a series of three muscles. I'm not going to get too technical here, but where they attach, if they break off that attachment, they call it an avulsion.
Right.
That's surgery.
Right.
The rest of them are really, you know, rights.
Rest,
you know,
rehab.
Rest, rehab, yeah. All that kind of stuff.
And it seemed, now granted, I think people probably didn't know back in the 70s what, if they had a false hamstring or not, but I think it's more prevalent now.
It is, because...
Right? Am I right?
Yeah.
By the numbers?
What is that? 53 NFL player teams in the league?
53? Right. They've had hamstring surgeries.
There was a statistic, crazy statistic I read. It was like 97% of those 53 teams have had at least one hamstring injury every year, and usually happens at practice of more than anything else. And most of the time, it's wide receivers and defensive backs.
Right, and that's just because of... Is that an overwork injury, or is that a long speed, like where you gotta like go, you know, like where you gotta change from backpedal sprint, or, you know, I'm trying to, you know, run past the DB?
Combination of both, but most typically it's because they didn't stretch long enough. They didn't. I mean, and you'd be surprised. These are pro athletes, right? They should know. But it's most of the time, like you mentioned earlier, people are dehydrated. Maybe they didn't stretch long enough, and then they go quick bursts, quick burst speeds. Defensive backs, quick burst speeds. Wide receivers. Trying to accelerate too fast, and then snap.
All right.
It can hurt.
You know, you'll be surprised that I was extremely blessed in Nebraska, where we, and in the pros for most part, that they always made, kind of really took more time in group work, getting warmed up. You'll be surprised, especially at the pro level, that how quick they start practice.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It's like, hey, coach is here. Let's hit it. We're right into kickoff, right? That now, what is very important is how you prepare for practice, right? So they give you enough time to get taped, and then it's your job. Say practice starts at 3, mm-hmm. walk through. Mm-hmm. You better be out there at 2:45 if it takes you 15 minutes or however long to get whatever pre, you know, warm up or whatever you got. Because if you don't, you know, I've seen guys, you know, really, really hurt their career based on a hamstring injury. And this is another thing I want to ask you about is, even when I hurt my hamstring in college, I felt it still the second, like a year later, I knew I was fine. How long does it generally take from, say, like a grade 3 hamstring, not off the bone, but a regular tear.
Well, I will tell you, at a minimum, we as IR guys, you know, the ortho guys treat the really heavy stuff.
Right.
Us IR guys do those steroid injections for the one near the pelvis.
Right.
But from whatever I know from literature, at least a minimum of 8 weeks.
Right.
I think that's a very reasonable number to get yourself rested and rehabbed.
Right.
If you go, everybody's got deadlines. People need this, people need that. Yeah. So. But at least an 8 week number is a good number to believe in. And especially for younger athletes, if you don't rest it, you're going to injure other things. Right? We talked about this. You'll injure other things.
Yeah. And talk about the one that's a little bit lower in the, like down here.
The knee, yeah.
And what activities or what movements generally trigger those?
So lateral movements, anterior movements, right? That's what, you know, when people talk about hamstring injuries, the HSI injuries lead to more common ACL injuries, right? And one thing you got to be prepared for is your hamstring is like a protector for the knee, right? That's what it is. Your quads and your hamstring protect the knee. If you have weakness in a hamstring because you came back too quick from rehab, right? You're going to splint. You're going to try to protect your knee in other ways because your ACL is much more important.
Right?
And people don't realize that when they try to modify their behavior, their mechanics, the neuromechanics, they're going to tear that ACL.
Right.
And so, I would tell you that the low, like we said, proximal, those distal hamstring injuries, those affect mostly the knee more.
Knee.
Yeah.
And then, so what are the, I always say there's a byproduct of it. And, I remember telling you one of the scariest moments when I was probably on like one of my last legs. I still had about a quarter tank left in the tank of what I was a career. And I didn't know how I strained my calf. I woke up, I practiced. Right? To talk about this, I practiced, right? And it was hot like this. And I jumped in the cold tub, no big deal. And so then, but then I woke up the next morning, I was like, whoa, did I pull something? I wore a calf sleeve. But then he had told me, he was like, you're weak in your hamstring and your quad. Mm-hmm. And I've been kind of fighting, I wouldn't say a full strain, but it was kind of like, it was an imbalance, right? Talk about that and how it went down my leg.
Right? Yeah. So it's like neuromechanics, right? Yeah. People alter their gait. People alter their mechanics of how they stand because to protect from the injury, right? You get your injury, you're going to do everything you can to try to splint away from it. Right. I think the biggest worry people have is that, especially for calves and knees, is that when you weaken the top muscles, mm-hmm. the lower muscles are trying to hold them up, right?
Sure.
Maybe you had a hamstring injury, but you were trying to compensate with other muscles.
Right.
And that can be dangerous. And now, calves can be worked all the time.
Right.
You walk upright most of the time. You can work your calf. I mean, don't overdo it, but my point is you can work your calves out. But if you have an injury and then you're working your calves out more and more, you're gonna get those injured too. You're gonna tear the same way the hamstrings tear, the gastrocs and the soleus, they tear the same way.
You know, I wanted to ask you also about, depends on who you talk to.
Right.
Right. As far as like training and give me the best answer as possible. You talk to one person, they say you can't train, you can train calves every day, all day you want. You can do it. If you work out twice a day, you can do calves. Let's say like arm curls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then you have some people that say, listen, if you train, it's just like a muscle. You got to train it two or three times a week or every whatever the regular routine is. What's your opinion on it? Because you know, obviously, it's something that I'm dealing with because I got bad like feet, and I walk on my toes. So you'd normally think, you know, I used to always lean on, like, my calves would be strong, but part of my rehab, that I'm going to go to PT, is calf raises. So it's definitely something that, I need some knowledge on.
So I'll tell you this. A lot of trainers say calves are the ultimate, calves and tries, right? Those are the ultimate muscles. You can train them. But if you have any pain, that's your body telling you, right? Your body's telling you, hey, there's something wrong. Stop. I mean, what was that rule? Generally, give yourself a day of rest if you overwork something. People have gone away from, hey, you can train that muscle every day. I don't know if I believe that.
Right.
Because I think, remember, especially for younger people, I think micro tears are the ways your calves eventually get bigger, right?
Right.
You got to give them time to actually reform themselves. I mean, we're not going to go into biology and anatomy now, but if you have these micro tears, your muscle is going to try to get bigger and bigger.
Right.
But give it time to rest to get bigger and bigger. You know, fatiguing over and over again every day. When is it going to rest to grow and heal? Right. So I think that's my opinion. I mean, I think your orthos and your PTs, they'll know.
Yeah.
But my belief is you got to give them some time to rest.
And that brings us to NBA finals. Kristaps Porzingis, he had been out all playoffs, right, Harrison?
Yeah.
And he came back for game one. Yeah. Obviously played
killed
phenomenal.
It. Yep.
Killed it again game two, but then the turf monster got him a little bit, or the court monster got him a little bit, and he just had a hitch in his giddy up. He didn't have a full flat tire. Looked like he had some run flats or something in there, but he has a calf sleeve on now. If you look, I've been obviously seen him, and he seems to think he could play. Now, we've seen it before, right? We've seen it with Giannis,
yep.
Which affected the championship make or break 100%. Year for them.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
You need reliable appliances to help you conquer the day. And Menards is the one-stop shop for huge savings on new energy-efficient appliances. We carry the largest in-stock selection, starting at low prices and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Upgrade today and save big money on new appliances right now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
You know what, the Kevin Durant, which I think his, I think Kevin Durant was already injured. I do.
Yeah.
I think he was just, it was just a matter of time. How if you were to, now it's united with the Dallas Mavericks, but with Porzingis, and he had been out for quite some time, and then you come back to game action, which is different, and you can't simulate it, and you can't simulate, I always tell you, you can't simulate the anxiety, which then causes stamina, which then causes dehydration, and then causes stress to your, people just say, Jay, you don't know what you're talking, listen, I know. What would you advise Kristaps Porzingis to do? Miss this game, sit out this game, and then come back? Because you get 3 days rest.
Absolutely.
And then try to get with game four.
Absolutely. Because his is – I was watching that, and I'm going, what did he do? And then I started reading – I didn't get to see the MRI report or right. anything, but he's got one of the rarest injuries, like a median retinaculum injury.
Yeah.
It's basically where the patella is and down below, and that further injured the calf. I don't know much about this, but I can tell you this. If the patella is involved or if anything in the calf is involved like this, I'd be very careful.
Right.
I'd rest him and bring him back. Now, I don't think they're going to need him. You know, that's another whole story.
Right.
But you know, I'd rest it.
Yeah. I mean, that's because it's one of those things that triggers. It's weird that, you know, one thing I wanted to ask you is guys that would, like, in the pros, and you see this just because we'd have to watch the injury report.
Yep.
So one of the things I always picked up on, which is obviously very common, is that guys that would have, whether it could be a meniscus tear and have it in, you know, and that's probably a sneaky long recovery, because if you come back too fast, it could lead to other things, or like a MCL, PCL. But then it always seemed like, it said to you via text, is that they would come back from that, but then their hamstrings would not be, you know, torn off the bone, but then it would be like, oh, well, X player, you know, had strained his hamstring. And it'd be generally be in training camp, like you said, in practice. Is that an overuse of a muscle that, even though you do the rehab process, you're still not back to where you usually are?
Well, remember I told you how mild, moderate, severe, grade 1, grade 2, grade 3? Well, if you think about it, grade 2 is actually like less than 50% of the fiber cut, or up to 50% of the fibers of the hamstrings cut, right? Now, if you're sitting in that window, right, and you come back a little bit quicker than you should, you could go to grade 3 very quickly, because your grade 2 is already, fibers are actually cut. They're not strained, they're cut. And if you do something exaggerated in a practice or in some kind of game, you could avulse that. You could cut it full thickness.
Right.
And, you know, we talked about my wife's Achilles tear last time, but it's a similar principle. You have low-grade tears, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then those low-grade can become high-grade tears. The same thing applies to any muscle.
Right.
You just have to be careful how you... Now, the NFL and our pro teams, their doctors are smart doctors. I think they calculate all the risk, you know, but I think they just don't know, because the players don't tell them the fully. You know, you want to be tougher than the next guy,
sure.
right?
Yeah, you want to answer the bell.
You want to answer the bell. Oh, wait, what did Kristoff say? What did he say at the TV? He said they'll have to kill him or he's going to come play. I mean, he could ruin his career forever.
Yeah. And he's had quite a few lower extremity injuries too, like, throughout his career.
Giannis was smart. I think Giannis was smart. He shut himself down, right? Because I think he's looking at duration. Some people aren't that smart.
Yeah.
They'll come back and they'll do something that's going to make it worse for them for the rest of their career.
Now, one more question. I want to ask you about a guy that is, if you ask him, he's very smart. No, I do think he's intelligent. Anybody that goes to Cal Berkeley and
Jalen?
I'm going to ask you about my man, Aaron, Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
Because remember we asked you last year, and he was saying he was coming back, and I was like, there's no way he's coming back. And it was, now he did have a different procedure.
Yeah, he did.
Which allowed him to recover faster, so he's farther down the road of recovery. But they had an update on, I don't know what network it was on, and I want to ask you about it. I don't think he was hurt. I think it moved down to his heel. I think he had new shoes. He must have got a new sponsorship. It was the shoes and the heel, I think, Harrison. And he did have a little hitch in his giddy up.
Is that did he lead to a plantar fasciitis? Did it go from
They didn't diagnose him, but there was a video of when you know they would have to do like a handoff and in a you know rollout kind of warm up still, and he was gimping a little bit. Now, well, I want to ask you this: from a Achilles injury, and I remember this sometimes when I think I had like my third ankle surgery.
Sure.
At the beginning of practice, you remember the old oil can with the, you know, yellow brick road? I had to get the blood flowing. Is that going to be part of his deal? Like, it's going to take him a while to get loose and going?
Well, you know, that area is notoriously known to be devascular. I mean, there's not enough blood flow to that area to begin with. That's why you get injuries, right. Achilles tears. So the question really is, I don't know exactly what injury we're talking about. I would suspect it's something to do with the plantar fascia or the calcaneus.
Right.
Because when they do these repairs, the speed bridge is a very unique kind of procedure, right? They do have to do some insertional surgery there. So I wonder what exactly happened. Maybe there's some kind of edema or fluid built up, or maybe he's just because of the tear, you know, because of his Achilles tear, he's walking different, and now he's got his plantar fascia issues.
Yeah.
I don't know the answer to that. But I bet you it's related to his calcaneus or his plantar fascia.
Yeah, that's always interesting just because of, I remembered, you know, doing my rehab.
Right.
I would say it's in a controlled environment. You know, you know, Harrison, they have you do these quick, like, footwork drills, and you're trying to, you know, you got to come back. You want to be healthy, you know, sign either stay on the team or sign somewhere. So you're, like, trying to, show off for the trainer. So you're doing all this stuff. They'll have you do box jumps and one-legged, balance and all that. That's great, right? Because you got plenty, but you ain't covering nobody, and you're not actually doing football activities. I didn't do a lot of drops or anything like that. I didn't run any for, you know, all that stuff. I just wonder if he's at the point right now where you're trying to figure out. It always felt like there's a unique science to being able to play hurt.
Yeah,
and that's what. And to be honest with you, Doc, in the pros, you have to be able to play hurt. Because you're never going to be fully healthy. You can't play injured because you would tell and say, Jay, you're out for 6 months and this.
Yeah.
So I think maybe that's where he's going, the process he's going through. And it's some guys can do it very well. And some guys can't. I think Aaron Rodgers would be fine doing it. But for him, being somewhat mobile, being a little bit older, and what they like to do and what he likes to do, what we call off schedule, that means not in the confines of the play, and making a great play and being a Hall of Fame quarterback like he is, I think he's going to struggle with that a little bit based on whether he came back too early, because he was practicing, versus what he's been doing in his rehab process in a very, very controlled environment. Yeah. Now you're in mandatory mini camp. Now you have live bullets per se, and you got to go out there and play real football.
We talked about this. I was surprised like anyone that how quickly he came back.
Right.
I hope to God his O-line likes him. I hope to God his center because I'll tell you, he's going to need time in his pocket.
Yeah.
Because he's Achilles tear comes back in three and a half months or four, whatever that number was. That's quick.
Yeah, 11 weeks or something.
Something ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, that's a really, really quick return. I hope he really does well because I like him. I just, man, it's going to be tough because he's going to be I think the odds makers are saying that I don't know how long he'll be without his first before his first scare.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it's
they said it was a deltoid injury on the Pat McAfee show. That's where that news came from.
When a deltoid? That's your shoulder.
That's your shoulder.
You ain't gonna limp on your shoulder.
So he said this is Pat McAfee, New York Jets quarterbacks, and AP News said he was dealing with deltoid issue, the deltoid main ligament in the inner ankle. Unless the AP News has got that wrong.
No. There are certain ligaments which are. I think it's deltoids are the shoulder, but there are some rare ligaments that are in the ankle. But they could be that.
The wobbling around they're talking about in practice. Not isn't fully healthy yet.
Okay. Mm. Okay.
That's interesting.
Well, that's interesting. I'm still going to bet it's something on the calcaneus or the plantar fascia, but that's maybe they don't want to scare anybody.
Now, I want to ask you this, Doc. If you have a real bad tendon injury on your ankle, on the inner part of your ankle, on both of them, but one.
I wonder who has that one.
One, I'm trying to think, did it pop that day? I swear to God, I'm going back, did it pop? Like, How long is the rehab when you get surgery?
All right. So if you get surgery, I would think at least 8 to 12 weeks.
How many months is that? Three?
At least three.
Mm-hmm. And then what's happened after 12 weeks? That means I'm like out of the boot
It's the location of your test. Man, my point being is I would talk to a good foot doctor. I would make sure that he's on your case.
He's on it.
And then I would tell you, see those guys, make sure they take good care of you.
Yeah, they are too excited for that. Now my feet are just so jacked that I get protective of them now. But yeah, I appreciate you coming in. Always good knowledge.
We will tell you that now with our new magnet we have,
right.
We are actually doing quite a bit of tendon and ligament looks. You know, especially for athletes, and that's been quite helpful with the technology we got. So, AMI is
AMI is the place to be, man. I will tell you from firsthand experience, it's I was never really a fan of team doctors because they work for the team. No matter what they say, they work for the team. So I was very apprehensive because I went to 10 million places and came in, and AMI have taken very good care of me, and they haven't been I would say sometimes places can be selfish.
Right.
And what I mean by that is, let me do it, I'll do it, and it's not in the best interest. And they always willing to work with some of the people I know. So, I will tell everybody out there, if you have anything from any type of injury, to get medical imaging, they do a great job. And they put together a game plan for you to feel healthy. And
appreciate you.
I do appreciate that, though, because, I've had some injuries, Harrison. I will say this. When I hurt my hip, and we haven't even got to that yet, Doc. So I'm going to tell you right now.
Next time.
Okay, here's the deal. Okay, so next time you come, so you can study up on it, we're going to talk about torn labrum and when we have to get a hip replacement. And let me count up the years. We're about 20 years past due.
All right.
It happened 20 years ago.
All right.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about that next. But, that's the most painful thing I've ever had in Cleveland. But there's nothing like when you're 48 years old and foot pain, Harrison. When them dogs are barking.
I hope I don't ever find out.
I hope you don't either.
Yeah.
But anyways, we're going to take a quick break. Come back.
Thanks,
everybody. Again, Advanced Medical Imaging, 7601 Pioneers Boulevard. Dr. Finn, Dr. Raza, and they do a great job, plus a great staff over there. We're old school. We'll be right back.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.